good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Today we're diving into a critical aspect of climate action, reducing methane emissions. Now we'll explore the efforts, the challenges and the collective strategies needed to pave the way for a reduction in methane emissions. So joining me on the show today is Dr. Shireen Yawanaraja. She is Director of Global Energy Transition at the Environmental Defence Fund, which is a global non-profit driving scientific efforts to focus the world's attention on the importance of reducing methane emissions. So, Shireen, if I may call you that.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you so much for being on the show with me today to talk about methane. For the many of us who may have heard of it before but aren't familiar with the impact of methane emissions, maybe you can begin by telling us, you know, just how potent methane is, how it affects the climate, and also the role it plays in the climate crisis.
Thank you, Melissa, and thank you for having me. You know, for the longest time, methane was not part of the climate conversation. Mm. Usually when people think about climate change, they think about carbon dioxide. But there are other gases that contribute to global warming, and methane is one of them. Methane is a greenhouse gas, and it is the primary component of natural gas. Mm-hmm. And at least 25% of the global warming that we experience today is caused by methane.
Wow.
And it is the oil and gas sector that is one of the leading contributors of methane emissions. Now, in the first 20 years after methane is released into the atmosphere, it traps 80 times more heat than carbon dioxide.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So why hasn't it been part of the climate conversation? Why is it that we're focused on CO2 emissions?
Well, that's a really good question. And the organization that I work for, Environmental Defense Fund, we have actually worked very hard over the past decade to focus the world's attention on the importance of methane.
Okay.
Not just as a cause for global warming, but also as a solution to reduce global warming. Because carbon dioxide determines how high temperatures will get in terms of global warming. But it is methane that determines how fast that the globe will warm up in the near term. So reducing methane emissions starting now and quickly is actually the best way to limit global warming and also to prevent associated impacts.
Okay. You mentioned the oil and gas sector being one of the primary sources of methane emissions.
Yep.
Can we talk a little bit about that? Explain where it comes from and maybe what the key areas are when where methane emissions originate and I guess which areas represent the most opportunity for action?
Yeah. So methane emissions typically come from the upstream sector of the oil and gas industry. And by upstream, I mean drilling wells and transportation of natural gas and oil for that matter, storage tanks, flares, and certain equipments. I guess the main sources of methane emissions would be flares, vents, and fugitive emissions, leaks,
so
for example.
So these are parts of the
infrastructure.
You know, yes. The infrastructure, okay. So the world recognizes that there's a significant opportunity here to address methane emissions in the fight against climate change. So at COP 2001, that was COP 26.
Yes.
if I get that correctly.
Yes.
COP 26, 2 years ago, countries came together for the Global Methane Pledge.
Yep.
So talk to me about the goals and the fact that Malaysia is also a signatory to
exactly.
the pledge, which makes it all the more relevant for us as an oil-producing country.
Yes. So we have over 110 countries now that have signed up to the Global Methane Pledge.
Okay.
But what's really important about pledge is that it is a global target. So 30% reduction of methane emissions by 2030. And because it is a global target, it requires collective effort by countries and by companies. And that's where, you know, oil and gas companies come in when we talk about oil and gas emissions. Now, in Malaysia, Petronas, to get this right, Petronas announced in November last year pretty ambitious targets to reduce methane emissions by 50% by 2025 and achieve a 2030 target of 70% emissions reductions from the natural gas value chain group-wide.
So let me get that right. That's 50% by 2025, 70% reduction by 2030.
Yeah.
Very ambitious targets.
Very ambitious, yes, absolutely. And Malaysia and Petronas have shown great leadership in this area in support of the Global Methane Pledge in June this year at Energy Asia. The ASEAN Energy Sector Methane Leadership Program, or MLP, was launched by Petronas CEO Tengku Taufik. It is a collective effort by various US agencies, by ASEAN government agencies, ASCOP and AIS, Petronas, and the Environmental Defense Fund.
Right.
It is actually an 18-month training program, and I've just returned from Johor Bahru, where we launched this this training session that was attended by national oil companies from Indonesia, so Pertamina, PTT from Thailand, Petronas, obviously, and Petro Vietnam from Vietnam.
Okay, so talk to me about the role of Environmental Defense Fund, EDF, and the work that you're doing in this region. So you're not just working in Malaysia. How long have you been working with the Malaysian companies?
Since 2020, we have a presence in the Asia-Pacific region, in and we've got an office in China and in Jakarta and in Japan. In Southeast Asia, we've been working here since 2020, and we formed a civil society coalition to raise awareness on methane. We have been collaborating with Petronas, also on raising awareness and encouraging them to raise their own climate ambition, which obviously they've done very well.
They've
yes, absolutely.
Risen to the challenge. Yes,
yes. And they are also bringing along the region, because if there was one theme that came out of last week's Asia Pacific Climate Week, it was that regional mobilization is required to deliver the kind of resources needed to scale up climate action. So there is no one country or one company that can do it all. It has to be a partnership, and you need collaboration.
Why is that? Why does it need to be a collaborative effort?
Because you'd rather see climate collaboration than climate competition. And when you pool resources together and expertise together, then you can accelerate action. It is, you know, it is really the biggest human challenge of our time, climate change. And this is, I think, one of the biggest opportunities for the world to come together to work on this.
So what does the work, what does EDF's work entail when it comes to working with oil and gas companies to help them recognize the impact of their methane emissions? What does that work entail?
So we do a lot of awareness raising, and we are a technical resource. The Environmental Defense Fund, we have our own scientists and economists and policy experts, and we work globally. So we've done a lot of actual measurements of methane emissions in other parts of the world. And very often, we find, not very often actually, each time we do that, we find that the measured emissions are two to three times greater than what's being reported. So one of the biggest challenges is accuracy of emissions, of reported emissions, and transparency. So we, in order to mitigate, reduce methane emissions, you need to know how big the problem is, where the problem is, and then you can go out and fix it. using technologies and tools that's actually readily available today.
All right, okay, let's take a quick break, but let's come back and talk a bit about the challenges in measuring methane emissions. We're going to be right back here on Consider This. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. I'm chatting today to Dr. Shireen Yawanarajan from the Environmental Defence Fund. We're talking today about the importance of reducing methane emissions. And I wanted to talk a little bit about picking up on where we left off about the conversation of measuring methane and measuring our progress in reducing methane. You mentioned challenges in measuring the size of the problem. It was a startling thing for me to hear that methane emissions are actually 2 times higher than what's being reported.
Yep.
Why is there such a discrepancy?
Because most countries, when they report their data, emissions data, it's an estimate. Oh. It is a representation and an average based on activities that release emissions. So when you actually go out there with equipment to measure it, then you get actual quantification of what's being released as opposed to a calculation.
So they maybe underestimate
how
much they're putting out there.
Absolutely
so
right.
Let's talk about how technology can help.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, with advances in technology that might make it easier and more accurate in terms of measuring and reporting, are there specific technological advancements that can help?
Well, yes. There are already tools in place to measure, but EDF is actually launching a methane satellite next year. It's called MethaneSat, and it carries sensors that are designed to accurately measure methane emissions from all sectors.
The satellite can measure.
Yeah, so the sensor, yes.
So I take it there's imaging technology
here. Yes, exactly.
Okay, and more accurately.
Yes, so you can identify not just how big the problem is, but where it is. And that data will be made available to everybody for free through a data platform that we have developed. And, you know, you may be wondering, okay, so why is that different? And it's because, you know, when you speak to regulators, for example, they often say to me, we rely on operator data, company data, and we don't have the resources or the capacity to go out there and verify because it requires manpower. But with MethaneSat, you can prioritize, you can immediately see, okay, this is the area that looks like, you know, there's a lot of emissions. And we can talk to the company that owns that asset and work together to reduce it. So from a public perspective, you know, typically when you have any sort of data set, you look at where your house is and you look at, you know, where emissions are.
Yes.
And that adds empowerment to the public as well.
So this data would be made available to everyone, both the oil and gas companies to help them identify where the leakages are, the flares
are,
and for regulators to verify the reported emissions.
Mm-hmm.
Game changer.
Absolutely.
And when might this be in operation, and how quickly might we be able to see the impact?
So we hope to launch it by Q1 of next year.
Soon. Okay.
And it will actually circle the globe 15 times per day. And we should have our first glimpse of the data by the middle of next year.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
How can I ask about how might this impact the global fight? Are you expecting that with this, you know, new technology that we might be able to reach our ambitious targets?
We hope so. We hope so, because you know, a lot of what's happening today in the realm of emissions reductions are voluntary action. With the exception of Canada, the US, and Mexico, who have methane regulations, producer countries elsewhere don't have any sort of policy or regulatory frameworks in place that would make it mandatory. Mm. Therefore, you know, even corporate action, as strong as it can be, it's voluntary. So at EDF, we believe industry should and must play a role in terms of solving this problem, but we need a sound and robust regulatory foundation.
Okay, so how else might we look to accelerate action on methane emissions or reduction of methane emissions, especially for a country like Malaysia who might not have that regulatory framework in place yet?
Yes. So two of the main challenges, and it's not just for Malaysia, it's worldwide, is data accuracy, which I think we've already talked about. And the other is transparency. Corporate data very often is confidential. So it's difficult then to have an open dialogue with all stakeholders so that they can come together and agree on what actions need to be taken. So with methane SAT data, you know, that data is free, it adds transparency, so that you can accelerate your action as opposed to not really knowing where to prioritize. Mm.
Which is what you said earlier about the reason for why collaboration is needed as opposed to, you know, competition in this area. When we think about methane, does it have an economic value?
The short answer is yes.
In what
way? Yes, it does. So methane is the main component of natural gas. Mm. And, you know, oftentimes you hear about venting and flaring and leaks. So if you know where the problem is, you can go out and fix it. Or you can use existing technology to capture the gas and to monetize it. So the IEA, International Energy Agency, estimated that 35% of Malaysia's methane emissions comes from the oil and gas sector. So quick calculation, that's about $212 million per year, which is about a billion Malaysian ringgit.
Right.
That's being wasted. So wasted methane is a wasted commercial opportunity. So companies, and again, you know, this is using technology that's available today. This can be done at low cost. It's easy, and under today's gas prices, companies can actually make a pretty good revenue.
That is a great business proposition for companies to address any methane emissions that they might be putting out. Okay, so in the few minutes that we have left, I do want to ask you about looking ahead.
Yep.
We have COP28 just around the corner. Are you expecting there to be a bigger, stronger urgency about the conversation on methane there?
Absolutely. You know, the conversation around not just action, but also financing has
climate emerged. Financing is a very big conversation these days, pushing capital towards climate action.
So that's one of the things that the COP28 presidency and EDF has been working closely with the team. We expect to see some sort of announcement on that, because we certainly hear a lot from Global South countries on the need for just transition, and climate financing is one of the key challenges, including obviously capacity build and building regional expertise and experience.
And Shireen, as we're talking today, the public who are watching, what can they do? What role if any, does public engagement have in, you know, getting Malaysia to achieve the targets to reduce methane emissions?
I think it's important for the public to know about the co-benefits of reducing methane emissions. So we've talked about the climate impact, we've talked about the economic value, but methane also has a health impact because methane is a precursor for ozone. And as you know, ozone is a very dangerous, harmful greenhouse gas. And with all the extreme events that you're seeing now, when you record the health impacts, you know, during extreme events, after extreme events, premature births, and breathing in ozone, that's known to increase deaths due to heart and lung diseases. So from a health perspective, methane has a very strong impact. So I think as a layperson, probably that's one of the co-benefits, you know, that might influence the public to pay more attention to how emissions can be reduced.
Shireen, thank you for sharing all these insights with us. It's been an informative conversation.
Thank you so much.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. Thank you for watching. I'll be back same time tomorrow. Till then, take care.